Hi, I'm Brett Robinson. Welcome to the Redeeming Hope Podcast, where we share biblical truths that'll give you real hope. What is real hope? It's a hope that is relevant, energizing, authentic, and linked to Jesus.
I was just going through my daily Bible reading and got to the stage in Acts chapter 3. So if you want to follow, there's some really, you know, powerful things in here that God encouraged me with. But Acts chapter 3 is the story of John and Peter walking towards the temple. And on the way to the temple, they see this crippled man sitting there. And there's some very significant things if you actually read the word. It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth, so he was crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. So those are very significant things. He was lame from birth. He was brought there every single day. He's probably now in his 20s. So for 20 years, the guy had been carried there, put at the temple gate, and there he had to beg because he was crippled. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." Just a few words, and then you can read these things, and then you kind of understand what's the Holy Spirit saying. He said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, so he reaches out, he takes his hand, he helps him up. And instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate. So they had seen this man for 20 years, sitting at the temple gate, begging as a cripple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. So that's the story, and we've all read it, and we all know it, and it's an amazing story. And you think to yourself, geez, you know, the miracles started happening. Peter and John, a cripple that's born from, lame from birth, gets healed. It's an amazing story. But there's so much else that the Lord took me into, and I just want to talk to you about two key things. Firstly, I want to talk to you about Peter in this whole story. Now, it's an amazing thing, but just probably 2 weeks before, Peter had denied that he ever knew Christ. Denied. They said to him three times, and Jesus said to him, "You're going to deny me." And he, three times this girl asked him, "Do you know him?" And he said, "I'm sure you've been, no, I've never known him. I don't know anything to do with him." So yeah, he denies Christ. This is 2 weeks before, or he listened 2 weeks. I'm just assuming about 2 weeks. He denies ever knowing Christ. In fact, to the point that afterwards, he goes back fishing. So he goes back to Galilee, and he goes and he says he's gone fishing. But he was disappointed. You know, can you imagine? He's feeling guilty. He denied Christ. He remembers what Christ had said, and he's totally ridden with guilt. He's hopeless. He just thinks, what was that all about? You know, walked with Christ those 3 years, and yeah, he was crucified, and it's a complete, you know, disaster. Although Jesus, he was aware that Jesus had risen from the dead, but still, he just gave up. He was disappointed. And then he fished all night as a professional fisherman. So he goes back to his profession of fishing, fishes all night and catches nothing. So, you know, a professional fisherman doesn't go out and catch nothing. So here they are sitting in the boats, caught nothing. They're exhausted from fishing all night. Somebody on the shore shouts to them, "Did you catch anything? Do you have any fish?" Now, we can read that and think, well, you know, if I was a professional fisherman and somebody had shouted from the seashore, and it says there they did not recognize Jesus. Very important. So they didn't know that it was Jesus. So this guy shouts out, "Did you catch anything?" And they said, no. And he says, well, cast a net on the other side. Now, I think if I was a fisherman, and so I'm a professional fisherman, I've been fishing for many, many years, cast net on the other side. The boat's only 3 meters wide. What are you talking about? This side, that side. I'll cast you on the other side. You know what I mean? Don't tell me where to cast the net. But without recognizing that it's Jesus, he goes out and he throws the net on the other side. And it's unbelievable. You know the story. So many fish are caught that the boats could not carry it. And then Jesus says, bring some fish. Let's have a bride. Have some breakfast. Jesus, in fact, says, come and have some breakfast. Isn't it amazing? Jesus doesn't say, now look, let's sit down and talk theologically with you. Yeah, this is what the Old Testament said. This is what happened. This is the Holy Spirit. And you know, I know you denied me and it was a very bad thing. Doesn't go into it. Says, hey, Peter, come and have some breakfast. Bring some of those fishes you've just caught. And it says here, they were too afraid to ask him who he was. They're eating the fish. It says, and they're too afraid to ask him, you know, I just want to see that particular sentence here. Anyway, it says, they were afraid to ask him, who are you? Now, in spite of all that's happened and the denial and everything like this, Jesus just says to Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. But when you go into the Greek, Jesus says to him, Peter, do you agape love me? Now, you know what agape love is? Agape love is sacrificial, unconditional love to the point where you're willing to lay down your life for. He says, do you agape love me? Peter says, I love you. It's the kind of love that when you're, after 40 years, your wife says, do you love me? You say, yeah. Or you tell a friend, say, I love you. You know, it's phileo love. It's a friendship love. So Peter says to him, yeah, I love you. Jesus says to him again. Well, then he says to him, you know, feed my lambs. Second time he says to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. You know, I mean, what's all these questions here? And he said, tend my sheep. And then he said to him a third time, Simon, do you love me? I think the thing that really struck me here is Peter denies Christ in the middle of this absolute anguish that Jesus is going through, gives up everything and just goes fishing, doesn't catch any fish. And yet Jesus just sits there and says, come and have some breakfast. Sometimes we walk through times of, I really haven't been close to the Lord. I've really messed up. I've really said some wrong things. I've really done some wrong things. I'm feeling guilty. I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling hopeless about life, about everything. And we've got to do this amazing thing to come back into the presence of God. And Jesus is just sitting there saying, come and have some breakfast. And we've got to know Jesus as somebody that is, the whole thing about it is, Jesus brings right back to this is, do you love me? Not, you know, are you supernatural? Are you have all the gifts? Have you made penance? Have you repented? Do you love me? Three times he says to him. Now, the incredible thing is just before this, before Jesus actually ascends, he calls the disciples and he says, he breathes upon them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. I often wonder why Jesus breathed on the disciples, yet Peter is still confused about his place in life, in his relationship to the Lord. And there are three things that happen here. Because then Jesus says, go and wait in Jerusalem till the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you're baptized. So sometimes we know that that the Lord Jesus has breathed on us in the sense that he has forgiven us. So Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, your sins are forgiven. If you forgive the sins of anybody else, they also forgive. So forgiveness comes with the breath of the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus says, do you love me? Because it's all about love. Then he says, go and wait for the baptism and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So I see this as three stages that we've got to find ourselves in when we're walking through hopelessness, disappointment, guilt, whatever it is. You know, Some people say, well, you know, God doesn't love me, he's forsaken me, and everything's just collapsing around me. But he has breathed on you. He's breathed the breath of salvation upon you, the breath of forgiveness upon you. In fact, it's an amazing thing. He says, after he said he breathes on them, this is before the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Amazing thing that Jesus said to them at that time. You know, when he just breathes on them, he says, I'm breathing the breath of forgiveness, of salvation upon you, the Holy Spirit's salvation upon you. And then the next step is to be established in his love, to know that it's all about love. And when he says, wait for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, those three steps are kind of important, and we can find ourselves in any one of those levels at any time, you know. In our lives, we go through those different seasons. Sometimes we feel guilty. Sometimes we feel we messed up. Sometimes we don't feel we're close to God. But what are we going to do? Somebody said to me this week, I can't repent anymore. What can I do? Well, you know, Jesus is not asking for all that effort, all that works. He just wants you to come before him and say, Lord, I love you. You know, Lord, I love you. So then the amazing thing is they then go out and they're walking to the temple after the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit, established that love relationship with the Lord, they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and now he goes and sees a lame man that he'd seen for 20 years for the first time. Think about it. They'd been to the temple. In fact, Jesus had probably walked past that lame man. And probably Jesus probably thought to himself, you know, hang on, be patient, your healing's coming one day. But Peter goes and he says, they saw him for the first time. And sometimes, if we don't have that love of God in us, we see things differently. We don't see things the way Christ wants us to see them. And I was really struck by that. For the first time, his eyes were opened to see with the love of Christ towards this lame, crippled man. And that's an amazing thing. And then he says to him, look at me. He looks, Peter and John look at him, and he says, look at us. Sometimes we've got to say to ourselves and to other people, look at not us, but at Christ's love in us flowing through to you now. You know, sometimes we're so busy looking at our disappointments, looking at our hurt, looking at our grief, looking at our shame, looking at our rejection, that our eyes cannot even see Jesus. But he says to him, look at us. And he fixed his eyes on them. And then he reaches out his hand and lifts him up. You know, sometimes I read that thing before and I thought, he said, be healed in Jesus' name. And the guy jumped up. Doesn't say that. It says they reached out, took him and helped him up. So there's just a sort of move of love that takes place. And I think the thing is, what strikes me here is that did Peter and John know that a supernatural miracle was going to take place when they saw that lame man? No. And you know what? It's what keeps us in a way back from reaching out into situations that need a total miracle, because we think, well, I can't do this miracle. Can I walk up to a lame man, doesn't matter, lame man, say, you know, be healed in the name of Jesus. But you know what? I realized that they didn't go there even with the knowledge or complete conviction that the man was going to be healed. But they went there in love. I said, look at us. The love of Christ is flowing through them. They take him by the hand and they help him up. And as he's been helped up, his legs are healed. And I just feel that if we can come to that place, because, you know, much of our Christian walk has been on, you know, believing for the supernatural, and all those things are right. But sometimes if we see a situation, we don't have the confidence or the faith to say, be healed in Jesus' name. But every one of us do have the ability in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, to release the love of Jesus towards other people. Every one of us do that. Because that's what Jesus asked him. He said, he didn't say, Jesus, Peter, come here so I can lay my hands on you and suddenly you're going to get the gift of healing. He just said, do you love me? Three times. Now I want you to take that love and just go and share it with others. Doesn't matter whether he's blind or whether he's lame or whatever the situation is. You just, our role, our anointing, our grace is just to go and share the love of God and then see what happens, you know? And that's what they did. And so they were on the way to the temple. They see this crippled man. Now they see him with love. And he was crippled, you know, broken man. But I felt this, that the Lord said to me, and we know this is not something new. People around us are crippled. They're not physically lame, but they are crippled. There are people around us that are crippled with disappointment. You know, it's funny that Jan mentioned that this morning. Crippled with hurt, crippled with rejection, crippled with hopelessness, crippled with all kinds of things, physical as well, but not just that, emotional crippled. And what the Spirit of God is saying to us, and that is that there's an anointing and a grace upon us to go out to the crippled and just reach out with the love of God, and the supernatural manifestation of Christ can turn their lives around. And it's not a complicated thing. You see, that's why Jesus didn't come onto the beach with five bands and big, he just sat on the beach with the fire and said, come and have breakfast. And he just showed them love and he said, do you love me? And he showed them love, showed them complete forgiveness to Peter who had denied him and all that thing. And he just says, just release my love. So I felt that there's two things that encouraged me in that. Sometimes when I feel that I've messed up and I haven't done the right things, I can think of Peter. I don't think any of us have messed up like Peter messed up. We can't even come close. Can you imagine denying Jesus right there where Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and he realized? Can you imagine? And yet, he loves him. We haven't, none of us have messed up that much. And all Jesus wants to know is, do you love me? And then in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, go and share that love with others. Just go and share the love, the mercy, the kindness, the goodness of God to people who are hopeless, disappointed, crippled with resentment, crippled with frustration, crippled with grief, crippled with worry, crippled with anxiety. There's a world out there, you know, that we've got to see in a new way. Peter looked, he'd walked past this cripple, the actual crippled man for 20 years and never saw him. And sometimes we can walk past crippled people and not see them. And we just ask God's love to flow through us so that we see people with the love of the Lord. What's crippling you today? I said to myself, what's crippling me? We all are crippled in some area of our lives in a way where maybe it's a disappointment, maybe it's a grief, maybe, you know, it's a hurt that we've carried. All of us are crippled in a different way. We are whole in one sense, and yet we're all carrying things, olash, you know. And I just feel that the Lord wants to bring healing, even after Jan sang that song and mentioned that again today. If you recognize that, when I prepared this, I thought, Lord, yeah, there's so much in my life I'm thankful for, and so much in my life I'm, you know, God has graced us with, you know, as a family, and as Lynn and I and wider families, God's grace has put us in so many ways, and yet we're crippled in different things because of different situations that are happening, because we're human beings, you know, and Jesus is just sitting there saying, come and have some breakfast. Do you love me? And I just want to invite you this morning. There's something in your heart that you know that, yeah, you know, you in that area you're crippled. You're not walking in the complete wholeness. Just want you to know Jesus wants to completely heal you. And recognize that other people around you are living crippled in certain areas of their lives, and you can just go and reach out with the love of Christ to them.
Thanks for tuning in. I pray that the message of God's word will build your faith and develop a hope that is so strong it's like an anchor for your soul. Go ahead and subscribe, and why not share the message with a friend?